the Griffiths MEQ is actually the Stace Leary Mankey MEQ, is it not? Ego, Death, Mystery, Show. January 19, 2023, with Cybermonk. You are on the leading edge of the theory of psychedelic eternalism. EgoDeath.com, EgoDeathTheory.wordpress.com. Mikey, left AT2020. Right, CAD M39 cardioid. 80 Hz bass cut limiter on the deck. EQ left. Cabs mic'd, 8-inch, SM57s, angled. ...1963 dissertation book by Walter Pankey. Acknowledgements. Particular appreciation is extended to Dr. Hans Hoffmann, H-O-F-M-A-N-N, who was a continuing source of counsel and inspiration, and to Dr. Timothy Leary, who assisted with the execution of the experiment. Pretty sure this would be the Good Friday experiment. I don't know if it was just that single group of grad students, divinity students, single Good Friday experiment, I guess. Tim Leary helped execute Good Friday experiment. Where does Walter Pankey derive his mystical experience questionnaire for the April 20, 1962 Good Friday experiment? Who is knowledgeable about questionnaires? Timothy Leary is knowledgeable about questionnaires. What is the origin of the SOCQ? What is the origin of the MEQ? Roland Griffiths in 2006, 2008, 2011 used a 43-item MEQ, Mystical Experience Questionnaire, derived from the lineage of Walter Pankey, 1962, dissertation book 1963, then in the late 1960s, William Richards assisted Walter Pankey in improving the Mystical Experience Questionnaire. At some point became known as MEQ-43, but it probably wasn't called MEQ-43 until MEQ-30 in 2012 by MacLean article. The MEQ was originally, at some point, it became 43 questions. That's one easy, simple number driving question, is how many items, effects questions, are in Pankey's 1963 dissertation book, in the tables of lists of items. I will extract in a clean, formatted way, because these tables are messy. There's so much junk that it obscures the questions. I will extract only the questions in their categories, such as unity or transcendence of time and space, so that we can then get to a tally. I will do a tally to answer how many questions are in the Panky 1963 dissertation book. How many questions? Is it 43? When exactly did William Richards assist Walter Panky in improving, and what is the tally of improving of the improved mystical experience questionnaire items? And the question I'm focusing on now is, to what extent do the mystical experience questionnaire question effects items come from Timothy Leary? Doesn't the Panky MEQ actually come to us from Tim Leary? Doesn't the mystical experience questionnaire wording and items and format actually come from not Walter Panky grad student, but from Dr. Timothy Leary? The MEQ isn't, and I am channeling Jan Ervin. We are given the MEQ and we're told that it comes specifically from Walter Stace 1960, as used in 1962 by Walter Panky, who was the advisor for grad student Walter Panky, administering to other grad students. We have the grad student Walter Panky, whose advisor is Timothy Leary, directing the Good Friday Experiment, April 20, 1962, which was held with Divinity grad students. And it was run by Walter Panky, maybe Divinity grad student himself or psychology grad student, directed by the advisor, Dr. Timothy Leary. Leary's knowledge of questionnaires guided Walter Panky in forming a questionnaire based on Walter Stace 1960 book. Maybe 1961 in the UK, I see off by one errors. The Griffiths MEQ is actually the William Richards MEQ, which actually is the Walter Panky MEQ, which is actually the Timothy Leary Mystical Experience Questionnaire, isn't it? I want to tentatively refer to the MEQ 43 as the Timothy Leary Mystical Experience Questionnaire. The Timothy Leary Mystical Experience Questionnaire from Timothy Leary. This is Timothy Leary taking Walter Stace's 1960 book and converting that book to a questionnaire list of categories and items. How much was the creation of the Walter Panky's mystical experience questionnaire? And who knows, I don't know that he referred to the questionnaire as. There are 98 hits on the word questionnaire in Panky's 1963 dissertation book. Chapter 6 is Data from Questionnaires, Interviews, and Content Analyses. Appendix B, Pre-Drug Experience Questionnaire. Appendix C, Post-Drug Questionnaire with Significance Levels. Appendix C, Post-Drug Questionnaire. It doesn't have categories. It has 129 questions, 129 questions. Not 100, because later, MacLean in 2012 article, which defines MEQ 30, says of the MEQ 43 that it was typically contained in a 100-item SOCQ, which includes 57 distractor items. Is that true of Walter Pahnke's 1963 book about his 1962 questionnaires built on 1960 book Mysticism and Philosophy by Walter Stace? Advisor Dr. Timothy Leary, who is an expert at questionnaires. Timothy Leary wrote questionnaires. How much is this original? Well, does he call it the Mystical Experiences Questionnaire? Appendix C, post-drug questionnaire. He doesn't give and philosophy.info has a link to an interactive version of this questionnaire. See if there is a name of the questionnaire. We have a post-drug questionnaire. All it says is post-drug questionnaire. There's no name given. It's not called the Mystical Experience Questionnaire. Here it says a 147-item questionnaire. I see 129 items in Appendix C, post-drug questionnaire. Appendix D is follow-up questionnaire. I'm seeing 100 items there. I don't know where he gets the number 147. He has here details about each category, like transiency of unity, objectivity or reality, paradoxicality, alleged ineffability. He does write the word alleged ineffability. Any mention or indication of difficulty in adequately describing one's experience in words. A 147-item questionnaire, which had been designed to measure phenomena of the typology of mysticism. On the experimental day, tape recordings were made of individual reactions immediately after the religious service and of the group discussions which followed. Each subject wrote an account of the experience. Within a week, subjects had completed a 147-item questionnaire, which had been designed to measure phenomena of the typology of mysticism in a qualitative numerical scale. Did Timothy Leary help that? The results of this questionnaire, he doesn't name the questionnaire, the Pahnke Leary Mystical Experience 147-item questionnaire. He doesn't write that. The results of this questionnaire were used as the basis for a 1.5-hour tape-recorded interview, which immediately followed. 6 months later, the subject was interviewed after completion of follow-up questionnaire in three parts with a similar scale. Part one was open-ended. Part two, we have some tallies here. Part two had 52 items. Part three had 93 items. The follow-up questionnaire. He just calls it the follow-up questionnaire or the post-session questionnaire. He doesn't name it. He doesn't give a name of the questionnaire. In terms of our typology of mysticism, ideally the most, quote, complete mystical experience, the most, quote, complete, close quote, mystical experience should have demonstrated the phenomena of all the categories in a maximal way. Listen to that steering here. Given our rock-solid science foundation of the single out-of-print book, Walter Stace 1960, according to the categories provided by that book, which we have then written up as a questionnaire in the form of these items, 147 of them, ideally, here we have Walter Pahnke saying, ideally, the most complete mystical experience should have demonstrated, the word should have demonstrated the phenomena of all the categories That is, the categories defined by Walter Stace's 1960 book. Helped with the assistance of Timothy Leary, converting those into questionnaire format. Such perfect completeness in all categories was not experienced by the experimental subjects. Well, for one thing, there's a big question. Do we conceive of mystical experiences as a once-in-a-lifetime random rare thing? Or do we consider it as a series of two bowls of cubensis redosed, hour and a half apart, 3 hours? I probably would now say, given the curve, I saw a high dose time course, a high dose time course. I think it's in the 2012 MacLean article, I think. And that high dose time course is different than the low dose, because the low dose pretty much comes towards baseline at 6 hours. But speaking roughly, the high dose does not come to baseline at 6 hours. The high dose comes to roughly 50% intensity after 6 hours. So after 6 hours, the high dose people are still so loose cognition that they are as loose cognition as the peak of the low dose people. I don't mean the super low dose, but the fairly low dose. After 6 hours, the high dose people are still still as intense of cognitive loosening as the peak level of the fairly low dose people. Now descended down to the level of the peak level of the fairly low dose people after 6 hours. So this implies something more like an 8 hour duration for the high dose from the plot that I saw. Pretty believable because it was all because of the nature of the series of increasing and decreasing dosage levels. That was the secret theme behind the double-blind research, was we're going to give some people an ascending series of doses and give other people a descending, and they felt that the better results were from the ascending series of dosage levels. First, have a fairly low dose, then have a series of five, I believe. Was it five including the placebo, or was it a placebo plus four different dosage levels, or was it a placebo plus five different dosage levels? Check MacLean, I think, 2012 article about the moving from the MEQ43 to the MEQ30. It is kind of a validation of the MEQ43 in order to produce the MEQ30 article. Internal unity was experienced to a rather complete degree. Unity is the heart of the mystical experience. But I'd say that the experience of unity is a mere beginner level effect prior to transformation of the mental world model from possibilism to eternalism. The advanced person is not, or you might say the climactic, in the climactic phase of formal transgression of egoic personal possibilism-based self-control, during that climactic advanced phase, it is not about unity. It is about transgression of personal control and a full-fledged transformation of the mental world model. Then perhaps after that, maybe, the mystic, the advanced psychedelic, well, it's a real, a genuine, authentic mystic, which is to say psychedelic mystic, the advanced mystic, which is to say advanced, like Cafe says, do they then, they might experience an advanced type of unity post mental world model transformation, including full formal repudiation and sacrifice, full transformation from possibilism, mental world model, to eternalism. Their experience of unity might be different than beginner's unity. This is a kind of a pre-trans fallacy, that the just because you experienced beginner's unity from a single dose, that's not the full effect. We're sitting here talking about mystical effects of psilocybin, but they're failing to consider the effect over a series of, over a formal series of sessions. What is the effect of psilocybin after a formal series of sessions, including not merely the first session beginner's unity experience, but the eventual final ability to go to that unity experience again, but now after having paid your dues of transforming your mental world model, formally transgressing personal possibilism, premised control, and changing your model of possibilities branching. That all renders Walter Pankey's paragraph here heavy qualifiers for this paragraph. He's talking about a complete, he says, unity is the core of the mystical experience. The control subject did not experience mystical. The design of the experiment, let me finish reading that paragraph. Unity is the heart of the mystical experience. Phenomena of the other categories might also have been expected to have been experienced to just as complete a degree as byproducts. In our data, such a prediction was correct for transcendence of time and space, transiency, paradoxicality, and persisting positive changes in attitude and behavior towards self and life. The evidence indicated a less, although almost complete, experience of external unity, objectivity, and the meaning the sense that this is objectively true, and reality, joy, and alleged ineffability. So they got less evidence of alleged ineffability. So he does refer to it in the body of his article as alleged ineffability. Notice how Griffiths omits the word alleged and says instead, you will be graded on whether you had a complete experience by whether you assert that it was alleged, whether you assert that it was ineffable. If you say your experience was ineffable, notice that Griffiths drops the word alleged. If you allege and claim that your experience was ineffable, then we will grant you a graduation certificate that you had a complete mystical experience, which you should have that. If our predictions are true, then you should have a complete, including ineffability, which Walter Pankey always, I don't know if he always, but here in the regular sentence in his book, it says alleged ineffability. Where did that qualifier go? Pankey says, there was a relatively greater lack of completeness for sense of sacredness. So the complete mystical experience didn't happen when it comes to sacredness, love, and persisting positive changes. Each of these last eight categories was termed incomplete. The one-time newbie users had an incomplete mystical experience when it comes to sense of sacredness, love, persisting, whatever, in eight of these categories, including ineffability. We needed them to report that they were unable to describe, but they failed to report that they were unable to describe their experience. Our predictions did not get as strongly confirmed regarding their claims to alleged ineffability. They did not have a complete mystical experience according to our stace-based definition and stace-based expectations and predictions. But these effects were definitely present to some extent when compared with the controls. When analyzed most rigorously and measured against all possible categories of the typology of mysticism, that sentence stands or falls based on the accuracy of Walter Stace's 1960 book, Mysticism and Philosophy. The experience of the experimental subjects was considered incomplete in this strictest sense. Usually, such incompleteness was caused by results of the content analysis. Then the question is treated in a paragraph. Why did the controls who did not receive psilocybin report any mystical experiences? The meaningful religious setting of the experiment would have been expected to have encouraged a response of blessedness, peace, and sacredness. In the case of sacredness, implicit phenomena such as awe, wonder, mysterious fascination in spite of terror or fear. That's a good phrase. Mysterious awe and wonder and mysterious fascination in spite of terror or fear. And sense of the holy otherness of what was met. This word otherness appears again in the 2019 dissertation by Haut. Toward a philosophy of psychedelic technology, an exploration of fear, otherness, and control. I think that's the title from memory. And I think in that latter dissertation, I think Haut studied this 1963 book by Walter Pankey, because here we have talking about otherness. Just like the 2019 article, here in 1963, we're writing the word otherness. A sense of the holy otherness of what was met in the experience showed a statistically significant score difference in favor of the experimentals compared to the controls, whereas phenomena with a more explicit indication of sacredness by the use of conventional religious or theological terminology did not show a significant difference between the two groups. 30 milligrams of psilocybin. That's slightly higher than Oregon Measure 109. Maximum during a session is 25 milligrams of psilocybin per serving, and you can pretty much, I think, divide by 10 to get the equivalent dried whole mushroom weight, so that 25 milligrams, I think, is considered equivalent to 2.5 dried grams of cubensis. And so 30 milligrams in 1962 would be like 3 dried grams of cubensis. And in 109, the maximum during a session is 2 servings. You have a secondary dose, I think they call it, or a secondary serving. I think they call it a secondary dose. The first dose, 25 milligrams maximum, that's like 2.5 grams of dried cubensis. And then the second dose, also the second serving, is maximum of 25 milligrams, which means that when you sum these two servings, and I would recommend trying 3 hours apart. Even though with high dose, 3 hours is not significantly starting to decline yet. So you are liable to have a first lower hump and then a second higher hump if you redose per Measure 109, take the secondary serving at 3 hours. I'm thinking that you might wait until 4 hours. The curves might work out such that the secondary dose should be taken at 4 hours in order to have a trapezoidal to sustain the peak level. But it is likely that there will be two discernible mountain peaks. But when I say peaks, that's a little misleading. The curves I'm seeing are not a jagged triangular peak. The curves I'm seeing are the very opposite of that. They're an extremely gentle mound. I'm talking about high dose time course. The high dose time course has a very rounded, flat, relatively flat plateau. Between 2 hours and 4 hours, you start at 90% level, slowly reach 100% level, slowly decline to 90% level. All during 2 hours, there's only minor variation of the intensity level during that 2 hour period. It is the relatively flat peak plateau, not a triangular sharp peak with a steady rise up to it and then immediately switch to a steady decline, or a rapid rise followed by a rapid decline with a distinct peak. That's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the opposite. I'm seeing a very smoothed over plateau that's already extended relatively flat. Therefore, the 30 milligrams of psilocybin in April 20, 1962, Good Friday Experiment, Marsh Chapel, by Walter Pankey, advisor Timothy Leary, expert at designing questionnaires, Timothy Leary, he helped conduct the experiment. Did Timothy Leary help formulate the questionnaire? And so far, I have not seen Pankey say, "We have named this questionnaire the Mystical Experience Questionnaire." Nor do I see him singling out. That'd be interesting. Try to identify which of the 147 questions are the MEQ 43 items. Others who have used psilocybin or ergot or mescaline to aid in the induction of experiences which are concluded to be not unlike those described by mystics. Such evidence also pointed to the possible importance of biochemical changes which might occur in so-called, quote, non-artificial mystical experiences, especially the effects of ascetic practices. Here you have Walter Pankey telling the nonsense that mystics did not use, we know it is a scientific given, we know that mystics did not use psilocybin, says Walter Pankey implicitly here. When Walter Pankey writes, such evidence that when you gave these people but not those people 30 milligrams of psilocybin, which is equivalent to 3 dried grams of cubensis, such evidence also pointed to the possible importance of biochemical changes which might and may occur in so-called, quote, non-artificial, close quote, mystical experience, parentheses, especially the effects of ascetic practices. Oh, really, Walter Pankey, what do you know about the effects of ascetic practices? You are claiming, Walter Pankey is asserting here, speaking as a scientist, Walter Pankey is asserting that we know that mystics did not use psilocybin, but we know that mystics had their mystical experiences due to ascetic practices, not psilocybin. Is this a fact? Is this a scientific fact? Who gave you this fact, Walter Pankey? Where did you get this factoid? This scientifically founded factoid? Scientificoid factoid. Where did you get this factoid that mystics got their mystical experience through ascetic practices, not through psilocybin? Is that a fact, or is that a factoid? It is a narrative discourse assumption set paradigm framework mentality assumption that is treated as if it's a scientific fact, as if it's a solidly founded given, when in fact what it is an assumption. It's a framework of assumptions presented to us as if it is a given fact, a known, given, well-founded fact that mystics did not use psilocybin, but instead got their classical mystic experiences from ascetic practices. Is this so, scientist Walter Pankey? Is this so? On what basis do you make the assumptions behind this sentence? Mention was made of the elucidating suggestiveness of our experimental findings for a better psychological understanding of the theological significance of worship and of such doctrines as the efficacy of the sacraments, interesting phrase, the efficacy of the sacraments, the incarnation, the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ, and gratia activa, act of grace. Questions, act of grace, you see, that's supposed to be an oxymoron. Active, passive reception of grace. Questions were raised as to the place of the emotional factor compared to the cognitive in religious worship and as to the validity of mystical experience in terms of religious truth. The demonstration of at least psilocybin, if not ergot and mescaline by analogy, as a tool for the study of the mystical state of consciousness, there's our phrase SOC, state of consciousness questionnaire, suggested both further research and implications for the future. Possibilities for research in the psychology of religion with these chemicals were divided into two different kinds in relation to the aim. Number one, theoretical understanding of the phenomena and psychology of mysticism. Number two, experimental investigation of possible social application in a religious context. That is some readings before Chapter 1 Introduction. That section is called, it's long, very long, lists out the 9 categories I'm seeing 9 categories of mystical experience. Preface. The preface is the length of a chapter before the introduction. What we call the James, Stace, Pankey, Richards, Griffiths, McLean, MEQ, actually is the Timothy Leary MEQ, isn't it? Isn't Timothy Leary the author of this alleged list of alleged mystical experiences? Is actually what they call the MEQ, Mystical Experience Questionnaire, the Science Foundation, actually was written by Timothy Leary, wasn't it? Who wrote the MEQ? It was Walter Pankey. Who was Walter Pankey's advisor? Timothy Leary, you know, the expert at writing questionnaires. The expert at writing psychology questionnaires, Timothy Leary, advisor of and assisted with the conducting of the Good Friday experiment, which includes heavily questionnaires. Did Timothy Leary assist with the questionnaire aspect of the Good Friday experiment? Timothy Leary, thank you for helping me conduct the Good Friday experiment in Marsh Chapel with the Divinity students, grad students, April 20, 1962. Thank you, Timothy Leary, for helping me conduct the experiment. The experiment's scientific aspects were based on questionnaires. Thank you for helping me conduct the questionnaires, Dr. Timothy Leary, expert in questionnaires. Who wrote this questionnaire? Who guided, who directed the creation of the Walter Pankey 1962 questionnaire documented in his 1963 book? Dr. Timothy Leary. This is the Leary MEQ, is it not? Is it the Pankey MEQ? Is it the Griffiths MEQ? Is it the McLean MEQ? Is it the Pankey Richards MEQ? Or is it not the Leary Pankey MEQ? And you might as well call it the Stace Leary Pankey MEQ. The Stace Leary Pankey Mystical Experience Questionnaire. Hypothesis: the Griffiths MEQ is actually the Stace Leary Pankey MEQ. Is it not? Ego, Death, Mystery, Show. January 19, 2023, with Cybermonk. You are on the leading edge of the theory of psychedelic eternalism. EgoDeath.com, EgoDeathTheory.wordpress.com. Miking, left, AT2020. Right, CAD, M39 cardioid. 80 Hz bass cut, limiter on the deck. EQ left. -9. Cabs mic'd. 8-inch. SM57s. Angle. Thank you.